The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 16th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
From that time on, after Peter confessed that Jesus was the Messiah, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "God forbid it, Lord. This must never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." Then Jesus told his disciples, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life? For the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay everyone for what has been done. Truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. Then Jesus told his disciples, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." So the question is, what does it look like to be a follower of Jesus? Jesus says it looks like picking up a cross, and we know what happens to Jesus when he picks up a cross. And he has invited us to pick up our own cross and follow him into the places that do not want to hear his message of love of neighbor and lives of sacrifice. And then keep following him until they nail us to our crosses because we keep insisting that love is the whole story. Many times I have imagined what it means to pick up my cross, and each time it comes up in the lectionary, I pray about my cross or crosses. Will I recognize them when I see them? Will I have the strength to pick them up? Will I have any courage at all? Or will I just sort of kick it with my foot and pretend I don't really recognize it and move along my way? And all these years, someone has stood at a lectern and read the same texts along with this Matthew text. And I have never noticed that St. Paul has an answer for us. He has more than one answer for us about what does it look like? What do our crosses look like? What do they require of us? How do they feel? And the 12th chapter of Paul's letter to the church in Rome is thick with instruction. I have a friend who, when asked her political ideology or her religious persuasion, she says, "Romans 12." So let's spend some time in Romans 12 today. It's actually just a very long list. In this section of the letter, Paul, who loves to explain things, doesn't really do any explaining. He just makes this list until he does mention heaping coals on the heads of your enemies, which, you know, does deserve some of our attention. But that comes at the end of this very long list. This list of how Christ followers behave, how Christ followers feel about others, what it feels like, the ways that we bear burdens or crosses. This morning, I'd like to do something a little different. I'd like to ask you to pray with me in a minute for open hearts and ears to hear what God has to say through St. Paul I would like to ask to you to pray with me, and when we're done with that prayer for open hearts, to remain in a reflective place where you can just listen. And I will read you again the list that St. Paul makes for us, that Jeanette already read to us. And I'm going to read this list slowly, to give us a moment to think about each one, but we don't have time for lots of silence in between each petition, because there are lots of petitions, and we do need to beat the Presbyterians to the K&W, so we can't probably just stay for too long. So here's the invitation from me as your pastor and from the Holy Spirit in Scripture. As I read Paul's words, pay attention to where God convicts you. Be open to a spirit, where the spirit might be shining a light on a part of you that is not so lovely. Accept the invitation to look where the spirit is shining that light. Be humble enough to admit that you fall short of some of these traits of a Christ follower. And let God give you one of them, maybe more than one of them, to pay closer attention to this week. Let us pray. Jesus, with our lips we say that you are the Christ, the Son of God. With our lives we are not always so clear or so bold. This morning we are here. We came to hear your word and share your meal. We came to confess that you are the Christ, raised from the dead. You are the Christ raised from the dead by the power of love. In these next minutes, reveal your will to us as we hear what Paul has to say about life in you. Enfold us so that we feel safe in your love, so we can bear to see the broken places you show us. Amen. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal or enthusiasm. Be passionate in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of other Christ followers. Extend hospitality to foreigners. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. Rather than vengeance, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink, for by doing this you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Letting Scripture speak to us in this way is a holy practice. Each one of those things I read could be a whole Bible study or sermon in and of itself. But today, God perhaps preached a different sermon to each one of us. As we listened, as we prayed, and maybe we felt some hot coals on our heads. The law of God, the stuff that convicts us, the part of hearing Scripture that makes us recognize our own sin, the law of God, is meant to turn us back to God. The way that it stings when we hear in verse 9, Paul says, "Hold fast to what is good," when we know that we have held fast to what is gossip, and what is anger, and what is pride, or condescension, or judgment. The hot coals we feel when we know that we have failed to hold fast to what is good. Those coals aren't meant to just harm and torture us because we're just so darn lousy. Those coals are to let us know that something is wrong. It's life in God that is right, and this thing that is wrong is pulling us from God. Life holding on, holding fast to what is good, is better. It's God's will for us. And just like verse 20, when Paul says, "If your enemies are hungry, feed them, and it will heap burning coals on their heads," they will recognize something is wrong. If their enemy is feeding them and offering them something to drink, then either they're not my enemy, or my enemy is merciful and loving, so then why do I hate them? So is it really my enemy? This cross-carrying, Christ-following life is at once beautiful and terrifying. It is the truth of being worthy and beloved in the sight of God and unworthy in our own sin. And because of the cross Jesus carried, and because of the life we took on that cross, and because of the life that could not be held in the tomb, and because of God's extraordinary love that insists on saving us, we are safe to admit our brokenness, to really look at our broken places, to feel the hot coals on our own heads, and to turn back to God where we will find a welcome we could never deserve. And for that, we cry, thanks be to God. Amen.